Readings taken from Hebrews chapter 1. I'm starting at verse 1, but we're looking from verse 5 onwards. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. Evening. Today we'll go look at the passage in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 to 14. But before we look into the passage, let me begin with a simple question. Who would you be excited to meet? Is there someone you really admire? Maybe there is a famous person you think is very impressive, perhaps a great athlete, a successful businessman, a musician, a politician, or even a Christian leader. You may think, if only I could meet this person one day, that would be amazing. Or perhaps you may think, if I could become like that person one day, if I could have their success, their confidence, their wisdom, their personality, or their reputations, that would be wonderful. We are naturally impressed by people who are successful, powerful, talented, or respected. But imagine one day you actually met that person. You are excited, you shake their hands, you have conversations with them. Then suddenly, someone says, "Actually, there is someone else here whom even this person looks up to." And you meet that person, and then you discover that this second person is not simply a little more impressive. He is in a completely different category. And this is something like what Hebrews 1 is talking about. The writer wants his reader to see how great Jesus is. In the first four verses in chapter 1, he has already told us that God has spoken to us through His Son. Jesus is the one through whom God made the universe. Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. He sustains all things by His powerful word. He provides purification for sins, and then He sat down at the right hand of God. So Hebrews begin with a huge statement. That is, Jesus is not simply another messenger from God. Jesus is God's Son, the Creator, the Sustainer, the One who saved us from sins, and the One who reigns at God's right hand. And now, from verse 5 onwards, the writer is comparing Jesus with angels, and his conclusions is very clear. Jesus is better than angels. We may think, why angels? Why does the author start by comparing Jesus with angels? What is angels? They are God's servants and messengers. They appear throughout the Old Testament. They are glorious creatures of God. And when people encounter with angels, they were often frightened. And the audience of the Hebrews, which are the Jewish Christians, knew about this very well. They understand that angels are impressive, powerful, glorious, and a heavenly being. And because of this, there was a danger that these people could become impressive by angels, that they began to give them a place that belongs to God alone. They worship angels rather than Jesus. The New Testament did give us an example of someone trying to worship an angel. In Revelations, John falls down before the angels, but the angels immediately tell him not to do that. The angel says, in effect, worship God. And that is the point. Angels may be glorious, but they are still creatures. They are servants. They are not God. And the writer of Hebrews wants his reader to understand, if you are impressed by angels, you should be infinitely more impressed by Jesus. And the writer is going to show it, not by sharing his own experience, but he goes into scriptures. Again and again, he quotes the Old Testament. Let's begin with the first point, that Jesus has a better name than the angels. In verse 5 it says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father,' or again, 'I will be his father and he will be my son?" The writer quotes two Old Testament passages. The first one is in Psalm, and the second one is in 2 Samuel. Both passages speak about God's promised king. In Psalm 2, it talks about the nation fighting against God and his chosen king. But God says that he has chosen his king and gives him a special name. "You are my son." This means that the king has a special relationship with God and has been given authority by God. The author shows us that this promise points to Jesus, the promised Messiah and king. God never said to any angels, "You are my son," but he said it to Jesus. He also quoted 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. Here, God made a promise to King David. God promised that one of David's descendants would become a great king and that his kingdom would last, and it is also pointing to Jesus. The writer is showing us an important difference. The angels are God's servants, but Jesus is God's Son. The angels serve God, but Jesus rules as God's King. Jesus has a special relationship with the Father that no angels has. The second point the author wants to make is Jesus is worshipped by angels. Let's take a look in verse 6. It says, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" This is an amazing statement. Think about the picture. Angels are glorious heavenly beings. But when Jesus appeared, the angels worship Jesus. The one who might impress us is actually worshiping Christ. If angels worship Jesus, then Jesus is not one of the angels. He is the one whom the angels worship. The Jewish Christians at that time may think angels are glorious, but the angels themselves bow before Jesus. Therefore, how much more should they worship Jesus? The author is sending a message to the Jewish Christians. Don't become so interested in God's messengers that you lose sight of God's Son. Jesus must remain at the center. The third point, Jesus is the creator of all things, including angels. Now, let's take a look in verse 7. It says, in speaking of the angels, he says, he make his angel spirits and his servant flame of fire. The writer is quoting Psalm 104. And this psalm is a wonderful psalm about God as creator. It describes God's creations, his power, and his continuing care for the world. And the point is very simple. God created and commands the angels. Angels are servants. They are powerful, glorious servants. But they are still servants. Then look at what it says about Jesus. In verse 8 it says, but about the Son he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Do you see the contrast? About the angels, he says, he makes his angels. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Angels are just servants. But Jesus is the King. The angels are created. But Jesus is the eternal ruler. Then verse 10, it says, in the beginning, Lord, you lay down the foundations of the earth and the heaven are the work of your hands. This is a quote from Psalm chapter 102. And it applied directly to the Son. It is very important to show that Jesus is not part of the creations. Instead, Jesus is the creator. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, the writer has already told us that God made the universe through the Son, and now in verse 10 to 12, he reinforced this truth. The Son created the heaven and the earth, and the Son continues to reign over them. Everything we see around us will eventually change. In verse 11 it says, they will perish, but you remain. Creations change, people change, empire rise and fall, governments come and go. Our health change, our circumstances change. Even the heaven and the earth will one day be transformed. But Jesus remains. Verse 12, it says, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. What a wonderful truth it is. Jesus does not change. When everything around us feels uncertain, Jesus is still the same. When our circumstances change, Jesus remains. When we feel weak, Jesus remains strong. When we don't know what tomorrow will bring, Jesus is still Lord tomorrow. When the things we trust in before begin to disappear, Jesus is still there. That is why Jesus is better. Fourth, Jesus is the ruler and angels are his servants. Then the writer gives another quotation. Let's take a look in verse 13. It says, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool for your feet? The answer is, none of them. These quotations come from Psalm chapter 110, and this is one of the most important Old Testament passage about the Messiah. Jesus himself used this psalm to explain who he is in Matthew chapter 22. To sit at God's right hand is a position of supreme authority and honor. It does not mean Jesus is simply a lesser being sitting next to God. Rather, Jesus shares in God's royal rule and authority. The Father has exalted the Son. Jesus is the King, he is the Lord, and he reigns. And one day, every enemy will be defeated. Every knee will bow. Every power that opposes God will come under the rule of Christ. And again, the writer asks, which angels have ever received these positions? None. Angels does not sit at God's right hand. They do not rule God's kingdom. They serve the King. And Jesus is the King. Finally, angels serve those who inherit salvation. Let's take a look in verse 14. It says, are not all angels ministering spirit sent to serve those who inherit salvation? This is the writer's final command about angels. What are angels? They are ministering spirits. They are God's servants. They are sent according to God's purpose. And amazingly, God used them in the service of those who will inherit salvation. That means Christians, you and me. Think about how surprising that is. Angels are higher than us in the order of creations. They are glorious heavenly beings, yet God sent them to serve his purpose for the sake of his people. We should not become obsessed with angels or try to worship them. The Bible does not tell Christians to pray to angels. Instead, it tells us to worship God and trust in Jesus. The angels themselves are servants of God's people as they carry out God's purpose. We may not know exactly how angels serve us in every situation, but we know God's angels serve God's purpose. And ultimately, they serve the purpose of God's salvation. And this brings the whole passage together. And here is a very short summary. The angels are glorious, but Jesus is more glorious. The angels serve, but Jesus rules. The angels worship, Jesus receives worship. The angels are God's servants, Jesus is God's Son. The angels are created. Jesus is the Creator. The angels stand before the throne. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. Jesus is way better than angels. At this point, we may ask, this is interesting theology, but what difference does it make to my life? It makes a huge difference. Because the problem of those Jewish Christians was not simply that they had the wrong information about angels. Their problem was that they were in a danger of turning away from Jesus. They were being distracted. They were being tempted to look somewhere else. And that is still our problem today. We may not be tempted to worship angels, but we can easily become impressed by other things. We can be impressed by successful people. Remember the questions I asked in the beginning. Is there someone you really admire? We are living in a world that constantly tells us, look at this person, look at that person, look at their money, look at their career, achievement, intelligence, appearance, or how many people follow them. And slowly, we can begin to think, I want to be like that. There is nothing wrong with admiring someone's good character or quality. There is nothing wrong with learning from successful people. But there is a danger when someone else becomes the person we most want to follow. Maybe we want to become rich, famous, or powerful. Or maybe we want everyone to respect us, want to have an impressive reputation. But this passage asks us to step back and look again. Who is the most impressive person in the universe? That is Jesus. Who is the greatest king? That is Jesus. Who has the greatest authority? That is Jesus. Who created everything? That is Jesus. Who reigns forever? That is Jesus. Who deserves our worship? That is Jesus. Even the angels worship him. So why will we give our hearts to someone else or something else? There is another danger. Sometimes when life becomes difficult, we want to go back to the things we trust before we become Christians. When everything is going well, it may be easy to say, I trust Jesus. But what happens when life becomes difficult? For example, when you lose your job, when your relationship becomes difficult, when you become ill, or when you don't understand what God is doing. We may start thinking, maybe I should go back to the things I trust before. Maybe money gives me security. Maybe my career gives me identity. Maybe another person will give me significance. Or maybe success will make me happy. But the author reminds us, look at Jesus. Everything else changes. Everything else eventually disappears. But Jesus remains. Verse 12, you remain the same,
and your years will never end. Jesus does not change. He is always good, faithful, and powerful. There is never anything behind us that is better than Him. He is not just better. He is the best of the best. Nothing can compare with Him. Therefore, don't look back. Don't leave Jesus to follow something that is smaller than Him. Let me return to the questions we start with. Who would you be excited to meet? Perhaps there's someone you admire very much. Maybe you think, if I could meet that person, it would be amazing. But this passage gives us a much bigger picture. There is someone infinitely greater than any human being, greater than the most famous person, greater than the most powerful politicians, greater than the wealthiest businessman, and greater even than the glorious angels. And His name is Jesus. He is not simply someone we admire. He is the Son of God. He is not simply someone we can learn from. He is our King. He is not simply someone who can give us advice. He is our Creator and Lord. He is not someone who will eventually disappear from history. He reigns forever. So today's message is, don't be distracted. Don't look away. Don't follow the wrong person. Don't exchange Jesus for something smaller. When life is difficult, hold on to Jesus. When other people look more successful, keep following Jesus. When money looks more secure, trust Jesus. When the world tells you that someone else is worth following, look again at Jesus. Because the universe was created through Him, and He sits at the right hand of God, and His throne lasts forever. Then there is only one right response. Worship Him. Trust Him. Follow Him. And never give up on Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for showing us how great Jesus is. He is Your Son, our King, our Creator, and our Lord. He is greater than the angels, and He is worthy of all our worship. Lord, forgive us when we become distracted by the things of this world, or when we look back at the things we used to trust. Help us to remember that Jesus never changed. When our circumstances change, He remains faithful. When we are weak, He remains strong. When we are afraid, help us to trust Him. Please help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to follow Him faithfully, and never to turn away from Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.